Mr. Devonshire, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Born in Wallasey.
Which year was this?
16th of August, 1918.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Wallasey?
Yes.
Whereabouts did you go to school?
Somerville Council School.
How old were you when you left that school?
14.
So that was 1932.
That's right.
Did you get a job?
I went to in what was called the Wallasey Insurance Committee, which was the old National Health, as an office boy.
Were you doing that kind of job when war was declared?
No, I left there after 2 years and went into a flour mill, in Buchanan's Flour Mill, where I was a machine operator.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes.
Under what circumstances?
It was on the wireless, because we had no television in those days.
Were you at home?
Yes.
And how did you feel about the news?
Well, I knew that I'd be called up, which I was, immediately.
But did you feel any sense of dismay or excitement?
No, I was quite happy with it all at the time.
Had you been in the TA?
That was with been in the TA for 4 years before the war with the Chesney Yeomanry.
Why had you decided to join the TA?
Well, I was very sort of interested in military business to start with, and plus the fact I was very fond of horses, so I joined the Chesney Yeomanry.
So that must have been about 35?
Yes.
How did your parents feel about your joining the TA?
Oh, they were quite happy about it all. Because my brother, he was in the Liverpool Scottish TA.
Were you a single man or a married man when war?
I didn't get married till after the war. I was only 18 when I joined then.
Now, what happened to you after the war declaration?
After the
war declaration?
I came back to Wallasey, and I happened to hear that Dunlop's had opened in Speke, which is in Liverpool, which is not far from here, and by Liverpool Airport, and I got a job there, and I joined them. So we moved over here then, from Wallasey, and we got this house, a friend, but her parents were living in Chilwell, and a house that were bombed out at the Wallasey, and this friend lent them the house there, and then they wanted the house back. They bought this house and that house next door with the deposit and gave it to us, and we had to carry on paying. And that's how I went into Dunlop's, and after a while I became a foreman in Dunlop's, and making cycle tubes. And then later on I went to India for Dunlop's, to Madras, to one of our factories there, where we helped them out. They were having a lot of trouble with rejects. So I was there for 3 months, and I came back and I went into, on the tires, I went into the sports, making golf balls. When I finished up as an assistant production manager in sports.
So these were the jobs you had after the war?
All after the war.
Now, what kind of training did you get with the Cheshire Yeomanry when you were in the TA?
Oh, well, we used to rifle training, and we used to go to Alka, to the rifle range, to do our fire bullets, real ones, you know, and also how to use a sword, because we had swords as well in the Cheshire Yeomanry. And when we were in Syria, after during the war, when we went to Palestine, then went to Syria, we did a charge against the spies using our swords.
Against whom?
The French spies, they called. Their cavalry, it was, the French cavalry.
Spies, yes. Can you?
Then we
was
went
this
to Jerusalem, and that's where I volunteered the LRDG.
Can you describe what this charge against the Spahis was like?
Well, it didn't work out very well in the end, because what happened is our horses are very big horses, and of course the French horses were the small ones, you know. And we just charged, and I turned around and beat it.
So you never caught up with them?
No.
Where was this that you made this charge?
In Syria.
But whereabouts in Syria?
Lebanon, actually. Yeah. In Lebanon earlier.
Do you know the name of the place?
You know, when you get all your memory, yours.
How many of you were there in the charge?
There's 50 or more.
Is that a squadron or what?
That was a squadron, yes.
Which squadron were you in?
C squadron.
And who led the charge?
As a matter of fact, I think it was Lord Libyum, who was an officer in the Yeomanry. Philip Libyum, he was.
What were you armed with when you charged?
Pardon?
What arms did you have when you charged?
We had our swords.
Did you shout anything as you charged?
Yes, you usual.
Yoo-ha. You shouted yoo-ha?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, anything. Everybody had a good shout.
Did you have any firearms?
Yes, we had a rifle. The rifle was in the rifle bucket at the side of the saddle.
Did anybody fire the firearms at the Spahis?
The yeomanry never used guns in the saddle. They only, when they had to do anything, they dismounted, handed the horses over to one minder, and then they did everything on the floor. They didn't do any firing of guns or anything like that. We had machine guns as well, but they were on pack horses, which we used to take up as well. But we never fired guns on the horses.
About how many Spahis were there that you charged?
It must have been about 20 or 30, something like that. You couldn't see properly exactly how many there were.
Was it mountainous or flat?
Pardon?
Was the area where you charged
a flat plain it was.
Was it cultivated?
No.
Was it rocky?
No, it was just rough land.
What kind of a horse did you have?
My horse was called Myra, and we all gave our own horses their own name. She was a female horse and very good.
What colour was she?
It was bay, a bay.
Did she survive the war?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Was that the only action you had when you were in Palestine?
That's the only action, yes. The rest of the time it was patrolling to try and stop the fighting with the Stern Gang, which was the Jewish people who were trying to do the Arabs out. And we had to patrol them, try and stop the fighting. The Stern Gang were a bad lot, I'll tell you.
Did you have any contact with the Stern Gang at all?
Not really, no. They always seemed to be one step ahead, but we kept them at bay.
Did you ever get shot at in Palestine?
No. I'm not shot at, but I'm going to shot at them.
Under what circumstances were you shot at in Parma?
Hills, you know, when we going through the, they were hiding in the hills and fired from the hills down at us.
Was this the Arabs or the Jews?
It would be the Jews.
Were there any casualties in the Cheshire Yeomanry from
no,
the sniping?
No.
Did you like it in Palestine?
Yes, it was very nice, actually.
Coming back to that charge against the Spahis, what were the Spahis trying to do when you charged them?
Well, they were lined up ready. They were going to come at us, I think, only we went first.
Were they just on ponies?
Yes, they were on their own ponies. Yes.
Were they French or were they
French,
Arab?
French. Free French they were. Not free French, they were French. The free French were the ones that were on our side.
Did you feel at all nervous or apprehensive in Palestine?
No.
Were the Cheshire Yeomanry mechanised whilst you were in Palestine?
No, I left before. They didn't get mechanised. They went into 5 LC signals. But I left before that happened. When I was in Jerusalem, they came to the LRD, came and interviewed us to join the LRD there. They took 5 of us. I went because my brother had been taken prisoner in the desert, and I known that the LRDG had let prisoners out, and I was hoping that if I was with him, I would be there to get him out, but he moved to Italy before we got there.
Had you been happy with the Cheshire Yeomanry?
Yes, yes.
Was it easy to get into the LRDG?
Well, yeah, it wasn't easy. They asked you a lot of questions when they came to interview you, those who wanted to go. But there was 5 of us, and they interviewed quite a few, picked which they wanted.
What do you remember about the interview you had?
Only asked why I wanted to join, and what was my ambition, which I told them, was to hoping that I would be with them when they opened another camp and got my brother out. And they said, well, that's good enough for us.
Who did the interview, do you know?
Yes.
Where did the interview take place?
In Jerusalem. We were stationed there then.
Did they tell you what the LRDG did?
Yes. What that they patrolled behind the lines, checking on where German troops were stationed and where their petrol and all their oil was dumped, and we used to go and blow them up.
So, once you'd been accepted, where did you have to report to?
Cairo.
How did you get there?
They ran us there, I think. On trucks. They came and picked us up, I think. I remember rightly, yes.
Did you have to alter your uniform and insignia?
Yes, for that, of course. In the yeomanry, you wore bandoliers, which you kept your ammunition in. Of course, I didn't need that, and I didn't need a big cap. And in the LRDG, you just wore what you could get, the easiest clothes you possibly could for the heat in the desert.
What did you wear?
I just wore slacks and a shirt, and we carried with us a very heavy wool coat, because in the desert at night it was very, very cold, that they were issued.
What insignia did you have for the LRDG?
The cap badge with the... It's on there anyway, what it looks like on the book.
Is it a scorpion?
That's the cat batch.
Is it a scorpion?
That's right. Ready with its tail up, ready to strike.
And which units of the LRDG did you go into?
Y Patrol.
What was Y Patrol?
They were all cavalry, ex-cavalry. Y Patrol. Yeomanry Patrol, as it was called. There's G, which was the Guards Patrol, and R, which was the Reditions.
Who were the people in charge of Yeomanry Patrol?
Of the LRD Patrol, you mean?
Of the Yeomanry Patrol.
Well, Captain Hunter was my officer in charge.
What rank did you have?
I was only a private.
Was there a sergeant with the Yeomanry Patrol?
No, I only got to be a Lance Corporal.
But was there also a sergeant as well as an officer in charge?
Yes.
Who was he?
Something.
Doesn't matter if you can't remember. And what equipment did you have with the Yeomanry Patrol?
We had an automatic machine gun, Tommy gun as they call them, and our trucks. We had every truck had a machine gun mounted each side, and on the centre at the back of the truck, in the middle of the thing, was an aircraft gun.
Did you have a personal weapon?
Well, a lot of us had revolvers which we'd picked up from enemies and all that sort of business. They didn't supply them with us. We had them ourselves. So our personal was the Tommy gun.
So you didn't have a rifle?
No.
Why not?
Well, there were rifles on the truck, but individually your Tommy gun was enough.
What was the first operation you went out on with the Yeomanry Patrol?
I went out to survey a coastal area where they reckoned that the loading German troops were coming abroad, coming on into the desert. That was the first one, which was observation it was.
What happened on the operation?
Well, we found out what was going on, and we had an encounter with the German patrols, and we got away and got back home.
What happened in the encounter? Can you describe it?
It was only just, they were in dugouts, and we just dashed past firing guns.
Was this the whole of the LRDG that went out on that operation?
No, only one patrol. Each patrol did different areas. They never went out fully as they.
Was anybody a casualty on that operation?
No.
What supplies of food and water did you take out on operations?
We carried biscuits, bully beef. That's about all what we had, all of it. And water, of course, plenty of water. Because in the desert you didn't get water anyway.
Did you have anything else to drink?
We used to have a little drop of rum before we went into action.
Do you think that did any good?
Oh, it helped a lot, yes.
Did you get any help on operations from the local population?
No. No, the Arabs, in my opinion, were pro-Italian at the time, because the Italians had the desert at first before the Germans came in.
Did you see much of the Arabs?
Here and there, yes. They didn't take much notice of us. They had an Arab patrol, the Germans, with them on their own camels. And they were sort of patrolling different little villages. We came across them once where they fired on us, but they didn't get us.
What was your second operation with the Y Patrol?
The second up was when we went to have a look at a big camp that they got on the road and in Libya. And we went into the camp and machine guns and all about, and then came out again. And we then made the home after finding out what was going on and chipping up the camp a bit. And then we came home to there. And on the way home, some German aircraft came after us. And they did hit one of the trucks, but didn't kill anyone. We had to leave the truck, and they got on, came onto others, some came on my truck, came on the others. And we got back with our wares. We had five trucks, we came back with only four.
Were the trucks reliable? Were the trucks reliable?
Oh, yes. Very good trucks. They were, had a special booster gear, whereas when you were in trouble with the soft sand, you just pulled a lever and it brought all the gears down to low ratio. And then when you were all right, when you to speed up, you pushed it over back and you'd get the full speed on the car, on the Chevrolet trucks.
Were the lorries armoured?
No, they were metal trucks, you know what I mean, but they weren't especially armoured or anything like that.
What were the main problems in crossing the desert?
Soft sand, which you had to be careful about, and sometimes if it was very soft, we had to use sand trays, put them under the wheels to get us going so we get out of the soft sand.
What exactly was a sand tray?
It was just a long piece of metal, about 5 or 6 feet long, which you used to, with holes in, and you used to stick it underneath the wheel, and the driver then would carry on to bring it up.
Was most of the desert sandy, or was it there other types of desert?
Well, it's sand all over the desert, but some parts of the desert were very hard, and other parts were soft. But you only get these sand seas, as we call them, every so often. But if we could avoid them and go round them, we did. There's a lot of wadis in the desert as well. And When you get a rainstorm, you have to be careful, because if you're anywhere near a water, you'd be drowned, because it used to come down so heavy, the rain, there'd be streams through the body.
Did it ever rain whilst you were in the desert?
Yes, oh yes, we had the rain just the same. And of course we got sandstorms quite often, and they were very bad. They used to get in your eyes and your mouth and everywhere, the sandstorms. But we got over it.
Did you ever see any torrents in waters?
Any?
Torrents in waters?
Yes, oh, aye. Yes. Yes, we got on just the same. It's, I would say that the weather in the desert is peculiar, because 1 minute it'd be boiling hot, and when after 5 o'clock at night it'd be freezing. That's why we had these special coats that were supplied by the army.
Were there any animals or creatures that you saw in the desert?
The gazelles, which we once got short of food, and we caught one, and we didn't even eat them, so we ate it, cooked it and ate it. And yes, they were the only main reasons, gazelles. And of course, when you were stationed, you had to be careful, because there were scorpions about and other nasty insects.
Such as?
Well, one of the main things was damn flies. You said vet on your eyes and all sorts of this flies. And
what was your base when you were on operations?
Pardon?
What was your base whilst you were on operations?
A base.
The place where you started off from.
Oh, the base was Kufa.
What kind of an oasis? What did it look like?
That was an oasis. The main base was Carol.
What facilities did you have at Kufra?
Well, it was just really a camp, nothing else. We didn't stay there very often. The main place was Carol.
So it was a tented camp at Kufra, was it? Was it tents?
Yes, it was at one time, but then of course, when the Germans came over, they came to Kufra because they were at El Alamein then, and it was at El Alamein that they were stopped.
Had you been wounded by then?
No. I was wounded well after El Alamein. What happened was that when I was wounded, the ambush, bullet came through my leg, out the other side, and finished up in the ammunition pouch of my number two. And I had to drive away quick, otherwise it would have gone as well. So I drove away with the leg, but it wasn't bad.